Okay, we are going to get started. You'll join me in the pledge. So the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So tonight we are going to start first with our reports and communication from our superintendent.
I just want to make sure, Ann, can you signal if you can hear us? Thumbs up, can you hear? Okay, sorry. Just want to make sure people on the line can hear. All right, first of all, I just have a few things to report. The running rallies are happening this week. Wheatland-El had their running rally yesterday. It was held outside. It was a great event. It was really nice to see the students back celebrating their achievements. Bear River will hold theirs tomorrow, also outside, pending no rain. And Lone Tree will hold theirs tomorrow as well, and they're using the virtual model that they had used before. So, ready rallies are back up and running, and it's great to celebrate the children. I have a letter that I'm going to read here in a few minutes, but I wanted to let everybody know that the superintendent of the high school district, Nicole Newman, and myself have joined forces, and we're reaching out to all Northern California superintendents and districts to make sure that they know about the resolution that is on the board agenda for tonight and the letters. The letter that we sent to the governor. We spoke to a local assemblyman, and he suggested that we have more districts send letters to the governor's office. So we are reaching out to all of the districts to see if they will follow suit with a letter as well as a resolution. So I'm going to use the rest of my time for superintendent's report to read the letter that the six superintendents of Beaver Canyon, so there's five districts and the county superintendent of the governor's office today. Elkhorn County, Chaffee County, similar letters, and Nevada County is going to as well. So I'll just read the letter, and it will be posted tomorrow on our website. Dear Governor Newsom, as County Superintendent of Schools and the five school districts of Newark County, we have served our communities through each challenging stage of the COVID-19 pandemic. We have been relentless in our focus on the safety of our students and staff, and during this time, we have observed overall minimal in-school transmissions. Emphasize in-school transmissions. On October 1st, your office issued a press release indicating that you are directing the CDPH to require COVID-19 vaccines for all K-12 students once the vaccine is fully approved by the Federal Food and Drug Administration. At this time, we are aware that the mandate may go into effect as early as July of 2022. Currently, there are allowances for families to decline vaccination utilizing medical, religious, or personal exemptions. It is important to understand the challenges that these mandates have created on our school community. As you are aware, many of our community have significant concerns regarding the continuance of the mask mandate. The introduction of the vaccine mandate has created additional concerns. In listening to our community, we anticipate the implementation of this vaccine mandate without an exemption for personal beliefs will deeply impact schools as families lead independent study programs or other alternatives to classroom distance. From the very beginning of the response to this pandemic, state regulations have been mandated, placing much of the burden for communication, implementation, and enforcement entirely on school districts, principals, teachers, staff, other administrators, and school boards. With the responsibility to implement these mandates, school boards and administrators are left to manage the real frustration of the large population of the public, taking time to focus away from the critical mission of serving students and supporting teachers and staff. The resulting divisions within some communities are eroding the trust and partnerships that we have that are essential in our public schools. We presume louder?
Yeah.
We presume that it is the state's intention to create a supportive structure for public schools. Thus, we are requesting that more be done during this very difficult time to support our work educating the children and youth with the following. Number one, it's critical to engage the public in a transparent and coherent manner by clearly reinforcing that the authority over these mandates lies with the state and be clearly informing the public as to how they can engage in the correct decision makers in this matter. In addition, we request the state identify with what benchmarks must be met to end the universal masking in classrooms. Finally, it is vital that the state of California maintains the medical, religious, and especially personal exemptions in regard to the COVID-19 vaccination requirement. It is essential that we honor the voices of our parents. In Yuba County, we believe in the importance of safe in-person instruction for our students. We are asking for your support and allow us to return to business of educating students in the safest and most normal way. Our students, our educators, and our communities need your support. Respectfully, Dr. Francis Rovellas, Patrick Rose, Superintendent Camptonville, Dr. Fal Arsani of Marysville, Dr. Jeff Roberts of Lewis Lake, Nicole Newman High School and Greg Gensler Elementary School. And it is being sent to, well, here's a list of them. I'm not going to list them all off, but everybody that we know that have a say in our local area. So this letter went out today.
And just so everybody online knows, it will be posted on our website tomorrow so you can read it if you are unable to hear it clearly. It will be on the website.
And it is a joint effort amongst all school districts. I'm going to move on to the enrollment report and let you know that we are currently at 1,351 students, 69 students more than we had last year at this time, and two more than we had in October. We also have 142 students in our preschool program, which is 52 more than we had last year at this time. We have a total of 1,493 with all groups, which is 121 more than last year. So that's it for superintendent and enrollment.
I just want to say on the money rally, I heard from multiple people that the Wheatland Elementary rally outside was awesome, that parents could see better. I don't know, I wasn't there yesterday. And that kids had more area to run, and I see a lot of people shaking their heads. So I heard it was awesome, and they would rather see them continue outside, and that it was super fun and very well done.
It was, and I will apologize to all parents about chalk being on other children's clothes because they decorated where they were going to sit, not realizing they were going to sit. And so all the kids sat down on all the chalk.
So I watched the talk.
It does. It was fantastic. I don't know if any of you were there, but they, you know, with the exception of not being able to do the hand slaps, the kids loved it, and some of those kids went extremely fast.
And I mentioned to Craig earlier about getting, and I heard you did too, Regina, about getting a calendar again with the events. I know he's been overwhelmed with keeping up on mandates and that stuff, so we'll have that.
You'll actually have it tonight.
Have it tonight. Wow.
But the invite was nice as well when you did that through our phones. That was nice to put that on our calendars for tomorrow.
So, okay, so I just want to go. We have communication from the public. Anybody who wishes to speak on anything that is not on the agenda. So, if you have something you want to talk about that's on the agenda, you wait till that agenda item comes up. But if it's not on the agenda, we invite you to come speak. We just ask your name, you know, what district you're affiliated with, you know, where your kids at school or that. So, please.
Hi, my name is Margaret Broffitt. My grandson, Jason Montoya, here goes to Wheatland Elementary. I just have a formal request. Would you come to my school district, Lincoln, Western Placer, to our board meeting on December 7th? We cannot get them to take their masks off. They will not stand up for us in that form. I would love to have you come to our meeting on December 7th. Be a great example to them.
I've been in contact with the superintendent of Western Placer because most of you know we tried to implement that no not a parent choice mask is a rule at the beginning of the year. Of course, you got hammered on it.
Yeah, we didn't even get that option.
Yeah, it's a different place for all of us to be at this point. So.
Okay, we're going to move on to the consent agenda. Unless anybody else has, I'm sorry, unless anybody else has anything they want to talk about that's not on the agenda. And I just buzzed me there, sorry. Okay.
I do.
Both my kids are also a part of Western Classroom Unified as well. We wanted to come here and show our support also for you guys, but you guys clearly don't need it. So thank you, board members. I'd like to second your motion, please, if you're able, December 7th. I have an eighth grader and a second grader. We could use your help.
Thank you for joining us tonight. And I forgot about online people. I'm so sorry. And the time yet, I'm sorry, but this new setup, I'm kind of, you know, lost. So.
Okay, hello. Are you ready?
Go for it, Annette.
Oh, okay, hi, everybody. I'm Annette Goodley, school liaison at Beale Air Force Base, and I am so proud to just talk briefly about the month of the military families. We have an appreciation month this month, and our military families work hard. They know what it's like to miss birthdays. They know about deployment, being away from family and friends, and they still hold it together. And I just appreciate all that they do. So I'm so thrilled to be part of that community as well as you guys are as well. And I just want to just let them know, thank you for all that you do, because our families, our spouses, our children, they serve too. It's not just the service member, but our little ones do as well. So thank you all for caring for our kids. And we hope to just continue and do all that we can to better support our families. Military Child of the Year Awards, just a reminder that those nominees and applications are due in December 1st. If you have 13-year-olds and up, a military student, please nominate your student. It can be a teacher to nominate, principals, superintendents, coaches. Please put the kids in. It'd be well appreciated. So I know you guys got some stars out there. So also just wanted to say, how are you doing with your Impact Aid survey forms? If you still need my assistance or you need the assistance of our first sergeants, they'll be helping as well. So I know there were a few more out there. Just let me know if they didn't come back or and that kind of thing. And for our parents out there, if you can please turn in your Impact Aid forms. For those that already have, thank you so much. Our districts really need that federal funding. So we appreciate all that you do. If you have questions about it, please contact your schools or you can come and see me. So thank you so much. And to everybody out there, have a great Thanksgiving. I know you guys will enjoy your break. So enjoy, but I'll be working. So. you guys deserve some time off. So enjoy.
Thank you, Annette, so much. And thank you.
You're welcome.
Military, you deal with the majority of them. Angela does too, and I would thank her. But you have a huge population of military kids. So thank you for all your work with them, because it does affect them on a daily basis.
Thank you.
And to Angela and Sherry, who have the middle school kids that they deal with from the base. And I know there's a few probably at Leavenau, but thank you for all that you do for those kids, because it does affect them. And then on top of everything else that's going on. So thank you for your diligent hard work to all of our principals. I appreciate that personally. Thank you. Yes.
So just so the audience knows, Impact Aid forms, if you live on base, you're asked to fill out a form because we receive federal funding, because none of the homes on base collect property taxes, and that's how schools are funded. So there's a program called Impact Aid that the feds fund to help offset the loss of the property taxes. So that's just so we know what Impact Aid is. You wouldn't be asked to fill one out if unless you live on base, basically.
Anybody else online? I don't have any set
up,
so there's like six
chats,
so I don't know.
Andrew will just let us know if somebody asked for something.
Okay. Okay, so we'll move on to the consent agenda. Any questions or comments from the board on the consent agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I have a first.
Second.
First and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. We'll move on to our action items. Our first action item is to set a December board meeting and annual organizational meeting. And this is where we set up our year.
Right, so what you have to do is kind of a strange system, but you have to decide when your meeting will be in December to set up the order. That's when you do your elections and all that. And it has to be between December 13th and December 27th. In years past, we've had a situation where we've had to set two meetings, and we're in that same realm this time, because we have to have our December 9th meeting, which is our regular meeting for financials, which is before December 13th, obviously. And so we will have to have a second meeting just for the organizational piece, which I would suggest be the following Thursday, December 16th, but it's up to the board to set that. So you have to set that meeting right now. And I put it there December 16th, but it's up to you.
I would just like to make a request. Could we do it a different day? Possibly like the 15th?
It's totally up to the board.
Well, the 16th is my birthday. So,
and I believe the 16th might be the fifth grade Christmas program at Bear River.
The program's going to be virtual this year. So even if it's there, it'll be posted online so you can watch it from there.
But I have to get Tony to there.
It's going to be pre-recorded.
Okay.
But yes, we don't have to do it on the 16th. I just stuck with the Thursday. You can do it any time between the 13th and the 27th, with the exception of the 25th.
You don't want to meet on Christmas?
No.
The 21st is out for me. 21st.
I just would like to do it on the 15th. That way we can watch the virtual.
I can't.
Okay, so
Monday, I have classes that I do
on Wednesday.
On Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Monday the 13th?
I'm good with that.
Somebody has to make a motion.
At the regular time? I was.
Can we have a little discussion first before we get up? I know we're not deciding now, but I just like to throw out some information for this. I think as we think about it for the meeting in December, I think we should think about the time. I think we should move the time back maybe to 5 o'clock or a little bit so that parents have the opportunity. It makes it a little easier for them. 5 o'clock, 5:30. Obviously we don't have to have that discussion or not, but I just wanted to throw that out there to think about. The other thing I know that we do, and I don't mean to make this sound inappropriate or power hungry or anything. I know we switch presidents every year, but with everything going on in this world right now, it might, I know I work a lot with Craig and kind of in the group of where the COVID things are, maybe keeping the president in place another year or 6 months or whatever, just something to think about for the next meeting, because there is a lot going on. There's a lot of, pieces, and so that's just some things that I thought about for when we decide on Monday the 13th, which I need a motion for that meeting and a time. So, but those are just some things that you guys could think about before the next
meeting. Can you hear okay, Melissa?
Kind of. Oh, sorry, I can talk louder. That's not a problem.
All the board needs to do tonight is decide on the date of the meeting.
Time is already set.
Not the time.
I make a
date
motion.
Time, yes.
I can move we have it on December 13th at 4:30. Okay.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second it.
First and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Awesome. We are moving on to 5.2, the District Sunshine for 2021-22 negotiations with Wheatland Elementary School Teachers Association WESTA.
So prior to reaching a settlement with any organized union, you have to sunshine the requests from both the district and the union on what you'll talk about. In certain years, the entire thing's open, but in other years, they can only talk about money and two items within the contract. That happens to be this year. So this sunshine is a joint sunshine from the district and WESTA to talk about the items listed on the sunshine, which are, pull it up, employee benefits, salaries, retirement options and benefits, cleaning up some language, and then the appendix is going to go with the ones listed above. All of these were part of last year's negotiations, which we move forward to this year.
Can we do 5.2, 5.3, and 5.4 together?
Yeah, we do them separately because they're different meetings.
Okay.
So any comments, questions about 5.2, the WESTA Sunshine? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve that.
I make a motion to accept the WESTA Sunshine, 5.2.
First?
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to 5.3. Wheatland Elementary School Secretaries West Sunshine to the District for 21-22 negotiations.
I make a motion that we accept 5.3 with the Wheatland West Association.
I have a first.
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, 5.4, District Sunshine for 2021-22 negotiations with Wheatland Elementary School Secretaries West.
So moved.
First?
Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, 5.5 is an information item only. Educator effectiveness block grant draft final version will come for approval at the December 21 meeting.
So what this is the state is kind of moving back to the way that they're funding schools and doing a lot more funding categorically. So the educator effectiveness block grant is a grant of a decent size. Let me pull up the amount. And we are required to do a plan because they like us to do plans for everything. And in this particular one, the amount of money is about $360,000 that would come to partly to our district and partly to the charter. And we have 6 years in which to spend that money. And so you have to put a plan together that shows how you're going to budget the $360,000. So what this is a plan, the plan, it's attached, and you can see it's really about staff development. It is almost all about staff development and getting teachers and classified employees the help they need to be more effective in the classroom. So what we've done is put together the plan, and it has to come in two separate meetings, which is a state requirement. So this is just for information. And then if anybody has any comments on the plan, whether it be anybody on the board or anybody in the public, they can reach out to me between now and December meeting, and we can look at potentially changing the plan.
And that plan is online on our agenda if you would like to look at it and have any suggestions.
I just have a question before we vote. The date of adoption at the public meeting, since we're not meeting on the 16th, we will need to meet on the 13th.
Yeah, we'll call things that.
Okay.
It'll actually be December 9th. Because the meeting, our normal meeting is now going to be December 9th because of financials. And so all business will be on that meeting. The December 13th meeting will only be the organization.
Okay.
So there's no vote required on this because it's for information only.
Any other questions, comments, suggestions, ideas? Okay, move on to 5.6, resolution opposing the potential state mandate on COVID-19 vaccinations of students and staff. And I know you're about to start, and I just want to say publicly thank you for working
on getting this resolution put together for our district. I think it speaks volumes. And I know we worked with the high school. The high school, they approved theirs last night. So,
This is a resolution that we work with our legal team as well as all the districts in Yuba County. The only two that have so far taken it forward are high school last night and us tonight. I do expect Plymouth Lake Area's bill to bring one forward as well. It may not be exactly like the story, but it will be close. But I do think before we open it up for discussion that we should go over a few things about the potential vaccine mandate so that everybody's kind of aware of how this all plays out. So I'm gonna have to be really loud. The COVID vaccine mandate can be broken into four parts. What's happened so far? What's the process for the government to mandate a vaccine for school employees and students? Where is the mandate going? And then the roles and responsibilities of school employees and board members. So what's happened so far? I want to be clear. Currently, there is no COVID mandate for school employees nor children. School employees either have to be vaccinated or tested weekly. All of our employees are in full compliance. Governor Newsom directed the California Department of Public Health to add COVID-19 vaccine to the other vaccinations required for in-person school attendance pursuant to the Health and Safety Code sections 120335 through 120380. His October discussion about the COVID mandate was a press conference. Okay, we are not near a mandate yet. The mandate could not take place for our age students, well, at least our elementaries, at the earliest of July 2020, and I don't believe it will even happen then. I'm sorry, 2022.
Yeah, 2022.
Don't take us back. We
don't want to start
almost over.
God, no.
So what is the process for mandating a vaccine for school employees and students? A vaccine can be added to the list of vaccinations required for in-person instruction by either regulation or legislation. Health and Safety Code section 120335B11 authorizes vaccination requirements for any, and in quotes, any other disease deemed appropriate by the California Department of Public Health. A vaccine requirement via regulation will require medical and religious, and one that needs to stay is personal belief exemptions. Governor Newsom has indicated that he wants the COVID vaccine to be added to the list of required school vaccinations through legislation, which is different than regulation. Legislation has much stricter exemptions. So currently, the legislator requires the vaccinations that your children currently get, mom, small dose. There is no personal exemption for those any longer. In fact, there's not even a religious exemption. There's only a medical exemption. If the governor makes this mandate on his own through CDPH, they have to continue to allow personal exemptions. If the legislature takes it on and puts it within the law of vaccination, the personal exemption goes away. And that's really the concern that we have, taking parents' choice out of it. So based on his press conference and subsequent public discussions, the vaccine requirement would be phased in only after the FDA has fully approved the vaccine, which it has not approved any in our age group, that would affect kindergarten through 12th grade. So if the FDA approves it fully, then the first block of grades that would be mandated would be 7th through 12th grade. And then students again, has to be, it's a separate FDA approval for the younger kids. So the FDA would then have to approve it for TK through sixth grade. The FDA has not fully approved the vaccine for either of these groups. If the vaccine is granted full approval, then CDPH will review recommendations with the advisory committee on immunization practices and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American Academy of Family Physicians prior to the implementation of any vaccine requirement. CDPH is also required to have a rulemaking process, which includes public comment. This is the time that we would want to make sure that we beat the drum with our legislature to stop the mandate. Currently, and that would be the time that, assuming the board passes the resolution, we would send that in. It typically happens starting in January, and it really gets up and coming in March, April, for if the legislature takes this on, which is not what we want. We do not want the legislature to take it on because then it takes away the personal exemption. However, there are some legislators that are talking about writing law for it. If the mandate is put into effect, then school employees would be required to get vaccinated with the first group, which is the 7th through 12th grade, at that particular time. So where's the mandate going? The mandate must be approved either through the regulation process or through the legislative process. Voicing opinion through the CDPH regulation process would be via public comment. Voicing opinion through the legislative process would be through your assembly members and your senators and lobbying the governor who wants the mandate to go through that process because it has a much stricter exemption. There is a current senator by the name of Dr. Richard Pan from the Sacramento area that is planning to lead an effort through the legislature. Dr. Pan is a practicing pediatrician and led California's stricter vaccine requirements some years back. There will be an avalanche of lobbying efforts starting this January when the legislators return, both by group or individuals in favor or against vaccine mandate. February is likely the key month because all bills must be submitted to the leadership by mid-February to be considered. The hard lobbying push begins in late February and gets heated in March and April. Many organizations, CSBA, SSBA, ACSA, which is the administrative one, and host legislative action days in March and April, where we bring in these legislators to try to sway them to understand what life would be like for our school district if they go down this road. We will make sure that we're part of all of these events and understand that they will understand that we are against any mandate that excludes a personal exemption. The roles and responsibilities, the last thing, the roles and responsibilities of school employees and board members. I think there's a real misconception out there. School employees and school board members took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and of California and have a duty to uphold its laws. While the board may debate and discuss the COVID-19 vaccine or other mandates, the board must ultimately uphold the law, whether it's through the regulation or the CDPH legislative process. So that is why I'm imploring everybody to get involved in this process prior to it becoming a mandate. The letter that we're sending to the governor, the resolution, assuming it passes, that we're getting all of the other work that we're doing behind closed doors, we need the public to do the same thing with legislators to stop the mandate in its tracks, or at least not allow it to go through the legislative process, which takes away the parents' right to choose. So we're going to continue to pound it. The letter went today. The resolution is coming into you tonight for your vote. If you approve it, it will go forward as well during that legislative period. And then, as I said earlier, we are reaching out to other districts and other counties. El Dorado County, Nevada County, and Shasta County, we've already done exactly the same thing. But I'll be honest with you, they don't really care about those all of our small counties. They care about LA Unified. LA Unified was the largest school district in the United States. And they have already mandated vaccines, even without the approval of the legislature. So we have to squeal loudly and be the loud voice that will move this forward so that we, look, I'm not against the vaccine at all. I've been vaccinated. I'm not against it. I'm against parents not having choice for their children. And so it is our job to protect the children that go to our schools. So that's why I bring forward to you this resolution in hopes that the board will pass it and we can continue to pound the paper.
Any discussion in the board before I open up to the public? Any questions, comments, ideas, thoughts?
I think it's great.
I don't know, Rose, if you're in the public, if you went on our board agenda, the resolution is on there. And it is definitely letting them know that we are not in favor of the mandate at all, but if they did want, we're in favor of keeping the person consumption.
Any comments from the public on this item? Go ahead, stand up, state your name and what school district, if you would. I'm gonna talk loud.
My name is Mary Ellen Faust, and I have three children within the school district, one at Bear River and then two at Wheatland. I understand interesting the letters and I appreciate it. However, we all know Governor Newsom, and he's for pushing this along. In the end, I'm hoping that you guys would make the choice to not push this through and to say, as with other school districts have as well, that even though he wants it and LA district, whatever, wants it, you are not going to push it and force it upon these kids that don't need it, that don't require it. And us as parents have the right to choose that upon our own kids.
Absolutely. And I think that's what this resolution and the letter is stating that from us across the board.
I understand that. And again, I appreciate it, but that can only go so far. In the end, we're hoping that you guys will say no to it regardless.
I don't want to not be transparent. They do not have that authority. The school board does not have the authority to look the other way at vaccines. So it just depends on where it goes and which vaccination route it takes. But if the state does put the vaccination mandate through, this board does not have the authority to not enforce it. Unless there's a court case between now and then that changes that. But there is currently no ability for this board to not follow them.
What would cause that court case to happen?
I'm sorry?
What would cause that court case to happen?
There's somebody who's gonna have to sue over this, which I expect will happen.
Are we suing?
Okay, state your name.
So, would it have to be a parent? Would it have to be a school teacher?
You didn't say your name.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Susan Johnson.
Okay, thank you.
So who would have to? Would it be a parent member? Would it be, as parents that don't know how that route goes, that, like, so where do we go to start that process to, if we want to sue the state of California or start the process of our kids not being vaccinated? And I mean, obviously, most of us parents are not just against it, but just our financial. I mean, we don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to take our attorney.
It's going to take a big organization. But again, let's talk about what we can do now versus what we can do after the fact. What we can do now is talk to the right people, the legislators that are going to make this decision, and make sure that they're aware of all all of the ramifications. What happens in Sacramento oftentimes is they make decisions that impact school districts, and they have no clue how that really impacts the students. So right now, what we're doing, the letter and possibly the resolution, everybody sitting in this room should be writing a letter to student legislators. Letting them know, emails, whatever it takes. Other districts that are larger than ours need to get involved in this process as well.
So is there a way that you could possibly send out to, I don't want to say to all parents, but sure there are some parents that are for the next.
Or put it on the website.
Right, contact who, because I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
So this letter right here that the superintendents are sending out has a list of who else they went to. It's going to be on the website. That would be my guiding point. It is going to be my guiding point of who and where it needs to go to, what people. And I'm not talking, you know, one email and you forget about it. The squeaky wheel is the one that gets spoiled. You're going to have to email, write letters, make phone calls, show up in person, you know, and it's going to take a loud voice.
My sister, she lives in Sacramento, and her kids are also in the JFK. She told me, I was there 2 weeks ago, and she said JFK in Sacramento is really mandating their kids to have shots by the end of this month.
So Sac City Unified School District is one of the districts that has mandated that all students should be vaccinated, at least have one shot by November 30th, yes. So they will have to go on the distance learning. So again, they're preempting what the state's doing.
Right.
This letter again will be posted tomorrow. I would the first four names that will be on there and are the ones that you really want to concentrate on. And who you guys reach out to is going to be different than who Western Placer would reach out to, because they have different assemblymen and legislators that look at those areas. There's a whole lot of other people on here that we CC, like Yuba County Board of Supervisors, Dr. Liu. They're not going to help us, right? I mean, they might help us by advocating, but they're not involved in the process. You need to reach out at the state level. And
it's Gallagher, Gallagher
would be one of them. I will tell you that James Gallagher.
Oh, I know. I'm saying.
Behind this 100%.
Oh, I didn't hear that too.
Not behind the mandate.
He's behind the
parents. Actually somebody that we've talked to a number of times about what we've been writing and all that and trying hard to do.
Okay. Marjorie, Western Placer, daughter of high school there, grandson here, Cleveland Elementary. So Dr. Pan is who you want to lobby. He is known as the vaccine guru. What he wants, he always gets. You want to email, you want to call every day, have everybody you know lobby against this man. He's the one who's gotten all the other vaccines pushed to take away all of our exemptions for us. As far as
what was his name again?
Dr. Pan.
Richard Pan.
Okay.
So
he's the one I mentioned when I was talking.
Join as many groups as you can on Facebook. Like I run the chapter of Moms for Liberty for Foster County. Okay, we have 3,000 members. We help go to the rallies, we do all of that. You guys don't have a Yuba County chapter yet.
Prince Wheatland are looking for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you need somebody here to start doing it for you guys. Bring all of, there's so many organizations, little small groups all over the state that are against this. And we're currently trying to form a alliance for legal fees to get set before this goes as a mandate and have the parents prepare that want to join in. And have an injunction made as soon as that mandate drops. We're trying to organize that. We're working on it real hard. It costs a lot of money just to even start. We have to incorporate ourselves. We have to become a nonprofit. It all takes time, but I'm working my butt off on it. So you need to join all these little groups that are out there on the social media and follow what they say. Because that's part of the problem, though, is that we have so many little groups and not one.
And no one knows where to look for those little groups. That's
what I'm telling you. So like Placer County, we have like 10 different little groups that have over 1,000 members each. And that's how we get all the rallies.
Yeah.
It's our little groups in Placer that started the rallies out of the Capitol.
Yeah.
We're having another one on December 2nd in Lincoln, as a matter of fact. So we just put that out today. I mean, do that here in your community. Get your county involved like that and get other parents. I I'm for the vaccine for people who need it. My husband has to get it. He has heart problems. He already had COVID, ended up in the hospital, almost died. So he's going to get it when his medical exemption is done. He needs that. There are children, but there are children who absolutely don't, who have already recovered, and it's a deadly, deadly injection. I have done, if you ever come to a Western Foster, I give all the stash, all the information, I deliver the bears reports to them every 2 weeks. I would never inject a healthy child with this. An unhealthy child, it will help them, hopefully. But there's still side effects that you have to suffer. My dermatologist's son is coming to talk at our next school board meeting, 17 years old, second shot of Pfizer, 7 blood clots and had a stroke, spent 3 days in ICU, still having heart problems to this day, and this was 3 months ago. You know, it's Russian roulette. You don't know what you're gonna get when you're young. Older people need it, and immunocompromised people need it. The rest, it's your choice, and it should be.
And for the kids.
For the kids, it should absolutely be a choice if they're healthy children.
I know some of
the children have to advocate in their community.
The other thing that really, if you want to get involved in what to do, is not just this group doing it locally. If you have relatives that live in Long Beach, or you have relatives that live anywhere in the state of California, remember, this is a group of legislators that are coming from all over. And so it doesn't do any good just to reach out to Jamie Gallagher. He's one guy.
Yeah.
You need your relatives. And oftentimes these legislators won't listen to anybody that doesn't live in their voting district. So if you have a relative that lives in Long Beach or Newport Beach or anywhere in California, get them to reach out to their local legislators as well.
Any other questions, comments? Yes, please stand.
Nate Krause, my son goes to Lone Tree. Is there anybody here for reasons other than the mandates? I don't think so. Okay. So, stupid question. I know you said that you have to enforce the rules. What if we get together with all these other school districts and just say no? What are they going to do?
So, yeah, there's a lot of ramifications, unfortunately. There's funding, so it's just not cheap to educate children, right? I mean, 90% of our budget goes to the people that do the educating and custodial administrators. So if they take away your funding, the other thing is if you do not follow the mandate, your insurance will no longer cover you. And so what happens when that happens is if you have a child who gets sick and then they sue you, typically your insurance takes that on, right? If you have no insurance because you didn't follow the mandate, now that all falls back on the district to pay that, whatever that's going to be. And God forbid somebody died from it, it would even be worse. So, and then there's other things like the board can be personally liable, as well as teachers and administrators can be personally liable, not just the district covering you, personally liable for not following. But honestly, the truth of the matter is, if we don't collect the state funding, we can't put a school district, we can't provide school. It costs money to have lights and air conditioning and heating and all of those different things. So yes, they do have, as a public agency, you have to follow the mandate. That's why I implore everybody to get involved in it before the mandate becomes a mandate.
Which is what happened with the mask mandate ultimately. We did not, I mean, we wanted it to be a parent's choice, and they started coming at you saying they were coming at you personally, they were going to take teacher credentials away. You know, there's a portion of this board that is not for students wearing masks every day in class. Yeah, they get you to that point, you know.
And that letter, by the way, is also on our website that we received from the state about what they were going to do with us not enforcing the mandate.
So then what about your legal team filing a suit against them for the mask mandate and the vaccine mandate?
So our district legal team is the ones who advise us that we have to follow a mandate. So if we were to actually go, I mean, that's what their job is, to keep us out of hot water, right? And the district doesn't have the funding to offset a huge legal battle either. I mean, we can't use public.